Good morning. I'm Reverend Catherine Fluck Price, one of the pastors of Trinity, and it is great to be with you this morning. We are so glad that you are here. If you are here every Sunday, if you haven't been here for a few weeks because you've been away traveling this summer, and especially if you are here with us for the very first time, it is great to welcome you. And we hope and pray that all of you will find Trinity to be a place where you can grow in your faith, where you can learn more about Christ and what it means to follow, and a place where you will feel at home. And so I say to you this morning, welcome home. There are a few things that I want to make you aware of that are in your bulletin. First of all, there's a Connect card, and I invite you to take that out and to give us at least your name and your email address. If you're here for the first time, if you'll provide some more information, that's very helpful to us. And later in the service, when we have the offering, you can put those in your offering plate. It's a great way for us to be able to get connected and stay connected to you, and we sure do appreciate it. Also, you'll find in your bulletin this morning something about adult ministries and the different small groups that we are offering this fall. And I really encourage you to look at those and to take advantage of that opportunity. Worship is something that we do every week as we lift our prayers, our praise to God. Small groups are a really key part of us growing in our faith. And so I encourage you to take a look at one of those groups and find one that looks interesting to you, intriguing to you, one that God is leading you toward, and to sign up for that group. You'll also find in your bulletin a bookmark, and it's about our Glimpses of God series, but I hope you'll just take that and use it in your Bible or in a book as we worship for the next several weeks. And then finally, tonight there is a worship service at Faith Mission. Faith Mission is Trinity's mission on the east side of town, right across the street from Rawlings Elementary School. And you all may remember that our Christmas Eve offering was all given to Rawlings Elementary School to help them renovate their media center. And it has had a huge impact, and tonight we'll have a worship service to celebrate our ministry there at Faith Mission. And then we'll also venture across the street and see the renovations at Rawlings. And so I invite you to come and join us for that service again at 6 o'clock at Faith Mission across the street from Rawlings Elementary School. Our mission box for this morning, the boxes are by the exit doors, and it's for Young Life, which is a vital ministry in our community that works with teenagers in our schools. And so if you feel led to do so, I encourage you to be generous in your mission giving this morning as well. Let me invite you now to stand up and say hello to someone near you. Please introduce yourself if you don't know them. I'm great. How are you? Yes. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's join together in singing our opening hymn.
Gracious God, we are gathered here this morning, a grateful people. Grateful to be gathered in your presence, and we pray, O God, that as we worship you, that our worship glorifies you and brings honor to your name, and it changes our hearts and lives so that we might be instruments of your love, your grace, your peace in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. And would you join me in affirming our faith together using this affirmation from the United Church of Canada? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
As we move into a time of prayer, I invite you to remember those who are a part of Trinity's congregation who are especially in need of prayer today. And there are two that I would like to lift up for you. One, if you would be in prayer for Art and Lois Reed and their family. Art is in hospice care. His family has now all gathered around him. And he and Lois have been a part of Trinity since 1966. They've been married for 68 years. And as Lois, as Art, passes from this life into the next, I invite you to be in prayer for them. I also invite you to pray for the Howell family, Lane and Teresa Howell are the parents, and they have three children. Their oldest child, their son, who's 22, died unexpectedly and tragically yesterday. So if you'd be in prayer for that family, for his two sisters and his parents, Lane and Teresa. You all also may have the events of Charlottesville, Virginia, weighing on your mind this morning, and so I invite you to remember that community and all those who have been the victims of violence, all those who have suffered in mind, body, or spirit. As we pray together for peace and for reconciliation, let's bow our heads and we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer before I lead us. God, you come to us new every morning, and we thank you each day for your mercy. Creator of all the children of the world, you created us to love one another. Yet today we come to you sad and brokenhearted, yesterday's hatred, hostility, and bigotry in Charlottesville. The animosity displayed and the violence perpetrated betray the reality in many communities in our nation's world. Forgive us, O God, when any of us turn to hate. Forgive us when we turn against our brothers and sisters, when we turn them into our enemies because of their nationality, race, understanding, or beliefs. This morning we pray for all those who are victims of violence, for those who have been injured in mind, body, or spirit, for those who stand against evil, even at great cost. We also pray for those whose hearts are filled with hatred, for those who have not known love and who have not embraced your love. Help us as followers of Christ to be models and guardians of a different way, to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, to be peacemakers and reconcilers, to seek and show love. O Lord, in our day-to-day lives, in small, meaningful ways, and in grand, impactful ways, may we, as individuals and as your church, embrace and embody the words of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. And now we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us as we yearn for your kingdom to come on earth. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
is offering back to Him some of what He has blessed us with in our giving. And so we're going to worship as a time of offering. Let us pray. Gracious God, You indeed give us every good thing we enjoy in life. And with joyful hearts, we give back to You as a sharing of these resources for the good of Your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We pray You take these tithes, these offerings, and that You have Your will and Your way with them as we seek to follow Your guidance as a church, as we seek to be good stewards over every resource. In Jesus' name, amen.
It has been said that theologians can get themselves all tied up in knots when they begin to try to describe the character of God. As soon as you say one thing about who God is, then you perhaps may be leaving something else out, or even denying or contradicting seemingly some other idea about God. And so it becomes impossible to create a coherent picture of who God is. Well, if the best and brightest scholars among us have a difficult time doing that, then no wonder it is intimidating for the rest of us to try to talk about who God is. It makes me think of that tale about six blind men who approach an elephant one day. Perhaps you've heard that story. And each of them, as they stumble across the elephant, touches a different part of the elephant, and based on what they feel, get a different idea of what the elephant is. And so one touches the trunk and thinks, oh, an elephant is like a snake slithering and moving around. Another one bumps into the leg of the elephant. Another one bumps into the leg of the elephant and says, oh, an elephant is like a tree with a strong trunk. Another one bumps into the side and says, oh, an elephant is like a wall. And still another one grabs the tail and says, oh, an elephant is like a rope. Every picture being incomplete. So it's not surprising to me then that over the years, one of the things that I have heard parents and grandparents say time and time again is how they struggle with talking to their children about God. Wanting to convey something about who God is, wanting to offer a clear and an accurate, if you will, picture of who God is, wanting their children to have images of God that help them appreciate the wonderful God that we have. And it's a challenge. But there is good news. There is a lot of great material in children's literature that can help us begin to conjure up images that tell us about the God in whom we believe as persons of faith. And as we dive into those stories and those images, we can begin to find some help in stories that we already tell our children and our grandchildren and our students. And so starting today, we're going to spend a few weeks looking for glimpses of God in children's storybooks. We're going to begin today with a story that is familiar to many of you. It's called The Runaway Bunny. This year is actually the 75th anniversary of the original publishing of The Runaway Bunny, and yet still today, mothers and fathers and grandparents sit down with your children and read this wonderful little storybook. Well, I thought in order to kick off the series this morning and for us to be reminded or perhaps hear for the first time the story, I would give us an opportunity to do so. It's just a short little book. And so I'm going to invite you to turn your attention to the screens where you can hear the story read as well as be able to see the illustrations that go along with it. And I'm just going to sit right over here in the rocking chair while we do this.
The Runaway Bunny by Margaret Wise Brown. Once there was a little bunny who wanted to run away, so he said to his mother, I am running away. If you run away, said his mother, I will run after you, for you are my little bunny. If you run after me, said the little bunny, I will become a fish in a trout stream, and I will swim away from you. If you become a fish in a trout stream, said his mother, I will become a fisherman, and I will fish for you. If you become a fisherman, said the little bunny, I will become a rock on the mountain high above you. If you become a rock on the mountain high above me, said his mother, I will be a mountain climber, and I will climb to where you are. If you become a mountain climber, said the little bunny, I will be a crocus in a hidden garden. If you become a crocus in a hidden garden, said his mother, I will be a gardener, and I will find you. If you are a gardener and find me, said the little bunny, I will be a bird and fly away from you. If you become a bird and fly away from me, said his mother, I will be a tree that you come home to. If you become a tree, said the little bunny, I will become a sailboat. Sail away from me. If you become a sailboat and sail away from me, said his mother, I will become the wind and blow you where I want you to go. If you become the wind and blow me, said the little bunny, I will join a circus and fly away on a flying trapeze. If you go flying on a flying trapeze, said his mother, I will be a tightrope walker, and I will walk across the air to you. If you become a tightrope walker and walk across the air, said the bunny, I will become a little boy and run into a house. If you become a little boy and run into a house, said the mother bunny, I will become your mother and catch you in my arms and hug you. Shucks, said the little bunny, I might just as well stay where I am and be your little bunny. And so he did. Have a carrot, said the mother bunny. The end.
Let me invite you to pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this servant this morning, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives. Amen. You know, every child, I think, at some point utters those words to a parent. I am going to run away. I remember the day that I decided I was going to plan my runaway from home. I do not remember what it was that caused me to think that was a good idea, but I remember very clearly going into the closet in our hallway, pulling out that hard case suitcase, taking it into my room, throwing a few things in, packing it up, slamming the lid shut, and then storming toward the front door and telling my mother that I was running away. And I walked out the door, and I closed the door behind me. And as soon as I had closed the door, I had absolutely no idea where I was going. And so I sat down on the front step. And as I sat there and was thinking about what I would do next, I began to think about things like, I really did like my mother's cooking. I really did like the room that I had that I got to live in. I really did like playing ping pong with my dad and throwing the ball in the backyard, playing pitch and catch. And it didn't take me long before I decided that maybe I wouldn't go through with this plan after all, especially since I had no idea where I was going to go. And so I sheepishly turned and, not knowing what to expect when I went back in, opened the door and walked back. And there was my mother ready to receive me with open arms. In The Runaway Bunny, we hear the little bunny concoct several plans and imagine ways in which he would run away from his mother. And with every one, the mother bunny offers the reassuring response, I'll be there. I'll be there. You know, it's amazing how similar the storyline of this book is to the verses that we find in the Psalm number 139 in our Bible. Let's take a look at some of the verses from that passage today. Beginning with verse 7, we hear these words, where could I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I went down to the grave, you would be there too. If I could fly on the wings of dawn, stopping to rest only on the far side of the ocean, even there your hand would guide me. Even there your strong hand would hold me tight. If I said, the darkness will definitely hide me, the light will become night around me, even then, the darkness isn't too dark for you. Nighttime would shine bright as day, because darkness is the same as light to you. you know, at that point in the passage, we could almost insert a, well, shucks. Like the little bunny says, after going through the litany of all the places that he could go and the mother bunny would still be there. It is the same with the psalmist as he thinks through all of the places where he could possibly go. And in every one of those places, the reassuring answer comes back that God will be there. And then after verse 12, there is this shift in the psalmist's focus, moving from imagining all the different places that he could go and where God shows up, to remembering how deeply God knows him. Listen to these next few verses of the passage. You are the one who created my innermost parts. You knit me together while I was still in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you that I was marvelously set apart. Your works are wonderful. I know that very well. My bones weren't hidden from you when I was being put together in a secret place, when I was being woven together in the deep parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my embryo, and on your scroll every day was written that was being formed for me before any one of them had yet happened. God, your plans are incomprehensible to me. Their total number is countless. If I tried to count them, they outnumber grains of sand. If I came to the very end, I would still be with you. In this psalm, the author ties the knowledge and the presence of God together. These two ideas are connected with each other. And the idea of a God who knows us and is always there with us, on the one hand, is very comforting, isn't it? It can assure us that no matter what we are going through, God knows us, God knows our lives from the very beginning, and God is with us. On the other hand, that same idea of a God who knows us and a God who will always be with us can be somewhat unnerving. After all, there may be times when we think maybe we'd rather not have God around. Maybe we would prefer to just kind of be left to ourselves. In those moments where we think, what if I've done something bad? What if I've done something that God wouldn't like? What if where I am right now is a place that feels embarrassing to me or would certainly be embarrassing before God? What if I just want to be left alone? The good news that comes to us as we read this psalm and as we reflect on it being in a larger context of who we see God to be in the pages of Scripture, is that the one who says, I will be there, is the same one who has known us from the beginning, from even before our mothers gave birth to us, as we were being formed, as the psalmist says, created in our innermost parts, the one who has created our very being is the one who says, I will be there. And that one will never show up to coerce or control or embarrass or confront in that setting us. That one is always there offering redemption, always extending grace. The truth is that there is no place that we can go where God will not go with us. Not to judge or condemn us, but to be there on our behalf. To be there with plans to save us, to redeem our lives, from wherever we have found ourselves. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to serve as a coach for a week of camp for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes up in Boone, North Carolina. And all week, the boys who participated in that camp had opportunities to play, especially the sport that they focused on in school. And then every day they would gather for times of worship, and they would sing songs of praise, and they would hear inspiring speakers share messages about God's love for them. For some of these boys, they had never been in settings like that before in their lives. They had never had an opportunity to share in community about faith. They had never been in settings where they heard God's love talked about and explained to them in ways that could make sense for them, if at all, before. I remember one night, just after worship had ended, and the speaker that night had talked about that deep love that God had for us and for every one of those boys, and wanted every one of them to know that no matter where they had been, no matter how far they had run, no matter what they had done, God loved them, and God wanted to be in relationship with them. And as we walked out and back over to the canteen to get some snacks that night, as we walked out of the worship area, I noticed a young man who I had gotten to know that week, and he was beginning to have tears running down his cheeks. And I walked over to him and I said, "How you doing?" And at that moment, he began to sob. And he leaned into me and buried his head in my shoulder, this big, bulky linebacker of a young man. And he said, "I just can't run anymore. I just can't run anymore." All of us want to run away at times. We want to run away sometimes from our parents, or perhaps from our kids. Sometimes we want to run away from our jobs. We want to run away from conflict and from suffering, even from life itself. Sometimes it feels like we just want to get away. And sometimes in those moments when we want to run away, we pin the blame on God, and we say, "You know what, God, I just want to run away from you." When we decide that we are ready to come home, God never lets us down. God is always there, and God is always ready to remind us that God is one who has been there all along. And God welcomes us back in. The story of the runaway bunny gives us a wonderful image of this persistence of God's grace and God's love. There's some words that we spoke earlier this morning in our creed that also do this for me. I invite you to learn these lines and remember them and allow them to sink deeply into your being so that they can be a reminder for you at those moments where you're just not so sure about life anymore. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Indeed. And thanks be to God. We pray with you. O God, it's really not possible for us to fully understand the depths of your love for us. But help us to trust. And in those moments when we forget, bring us back. Back to that place of knowing that wherever we go, you are there in our goings and in our comings. You are there with us and for us. Indeed, we are not alone.
We come to this table with grateful hearts. We come and we give thanks to God, creator of heaven and earth, and creator of each one of us. God who formed us when we were in our mother's womb. God who knows every hair on our head and knows everything about us. God who loves us faithfully. Even when we run away from God, even when we do everything we possibly can to escape and turn away from God, God's love remains steadfast. God's love for us will never fail. In the fullness of time, God came to us in Jesus Christ to show us that love. Embodied in the life of Jesus. And it was by his suffering, death, and resurrection that God gave birth to the church and made covenant to be our God. And so we come to this table and we remember Jesus' love for us. His death, his life, his sacrifice on our behalf. We know that on the night before he died, Jesus gathered the disciples around him and he took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and poured it and gave thanks to God and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we come. We come and we offer ourselves, all that we are and all that we have, as an offering back to God in faithful obedience. Let's pray together. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here in these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we can go out into the world as the body of Christ, redeemed by his precious blood. And, O God, we pray that you would make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes again and we share this heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. We invite those who are serving to join me at the table. table is an open table. It's a place where everyone is welcome to come and receive God's grace. God's grace, which is there even before we know it. So we invite you to come out the left side of your row. As you come forward, cup your hands to receive a piece of bread, and then you can take that and dip it into the cup. Then you can return to your seats by the other side. You're also welcome to spend as much time as you like at the kneeling benches in prayer. And there's gluten-free on either side, so just ask the stations on the far outside, and we'd be happy to serve you. Please come. Everything's ready. I invite you to pray with me. Holy God, we give you thanks for this meal in which you have given yourself to us. Now grant that we can go out into the world fed and nourished and strengthened to be your servants, to be your followers, to share your love with all of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand and join me in our closing hymn.
Before you go this morning, I just want to reiterate Catherine's invitation from the beginning of the service today to come out to Faith Mission tonight for that time of worship and celebration in our ministry with Rawlings and with the people in that community. It occurs to me that in the wake of the events in Charlottesville the last couple of days and in light of the climate in our nation, that going over there tonight and spending time in the northeast part of Gainesville offers a particular witness for us to say that we are a part of a community of faith that values every human life and that we are all children of God in need of grace. So now go knowing that that grace shines over you as well, that God loves you deeply and calls you into a life service and thanks.